Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad that you worship with us this morning. Can you believe that another month has already gone? Before we get started, let me remind you that today we are celebrating communion together. In just a while, we'll be celebrating communion at the church, and make sure you have enough grape juice and bread, and we'll partake the elements together during the worship. If this is the first time you're joining us, welcome once again. Please take a moment to complete our online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. And besides celebrating communion together, today is also a special Saturday, as our Kapos Children's Worship and Youth Worship will be resuming the online program this morning. So in case you have not registered your kids for either Kapos or Youth Worship, all you need to do is to go to our church website, english.mykc.ca, to complete the online registration. And once we receive your registration, our staff will contact you for further details about your kids joining either Kapos Children Program or Youth Worship. For your update, our office staff has been busy preparing the tax receipt for the year 2021. And all the receipt will be sent through email in just a few days on February 16. If your mailing address or email address has been changed for the past while, or if you'd like to request a hard copy of the tax receipt, please notify our church administrator by calling our church number or email us at info@koinoniachurch.ca. As we prepare ourselves to worship this morning, let me invite you to stand. Let's begin worship with God's word from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deed among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous work. Glory is His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous work that He has done, His miracles and the judgment He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Church, let's bless the Lord with all our souls and worship His holy name together.
Serve every single one. things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Church, let us pray together. God, as we prepare ourselves to hear your word, would you speak to us loud and clear today? Especially to those that have been looking at you, looking to you for an answer, for a solution. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with them. Your Holy Spirit will open their minds and their ears to hear very clearly what you have to say to them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In this sermon series, we're talking about the times when God, not when God answers our prayer, not when God provides for you in a miraculous way, not when God is good and loving and powerful. We're really talking about the times when God is inattentive, uncooperative, or late. Inattentive, uncooperative, or late. Maybe that's happened to you in the past, or maybe even right now. Or maybe you've seen this happen to other people, and you wonder, why doesn't God care about them? Why doesn't God help them? Why is God so late in helping them? And honestly, this is tough because all throughout our upbringing, maybe at church or maybe at your home, we have always been taught that God is good, God's loving, and God's powerful. God's good, God's loving, and God's powerful. And if God is good and loving and powerful, he shouldn't be inattentive, uncooperative, or late. But honestly, the reality is sometimes he will seem more inattentive than good. Sometimes he will seem uncooperative than loving. And sometimes he seems more late than powerful. Take this for example, take the uncooperative, this word, when God is uncooperative at times. What we mean here, maybe we can rephrase it to a question that I think will help us understand what we mean by this is, well, why doesn't God answer our good-hearted prayer? Why doesn't God answer our good-hearted prayer? And I have to put this word in bold here, good-hearted prayer, because you know why sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer. Because if we ask for a Lamborghini, if we ask to become a millionaire, I have asked for superpowers, it's pretty rare that God will answer that prayer. But why doesn't God answer our good-hearted prayer? And those prayers I'm talking about, you know, these prayers, they don't come from greed. They don't come from pride. They don't come from self-centeredness. And maybe they really come from a sincere and honest and honorable and maybe even desperate heart. And good-hearted prayer here, a lot of times, these prayers are totally reasonable. It's really not too much to ask for. And it's totally in God's loving and good and powerful character to do. So the question is, well, why doesn't God answer our good-hearted prayer? Or why is he so uncooperative? Perhaps for you, it's been a prayer about health for the longest time. you know, you have had this health issue, health condition, or maybe not you, maybe a loved one of yours have this health condition, and they have been experiencing pain, and they've been going to the hospital, to surgery, and you guys have just been praying and praying for a recovery. It's a good-hearted prayer. It's not too much to ask for. It's totally reasonable, but there is no answer. Or maybe the answer is not what you have prayed for. Or maybe it's not a physical health issue, maybe it's an emotional health issue. You have been asking God, or maybe you have been asking for your family member or your close friend to remove from them this mental state, the negativity, the depressive state that they're in all the time, and you just can't get out of it. Really, it's not too much to ask for, is it? And you're still struggling with this after so many prayers. Or maybe it's a prayer about job, your career, and your future. And honestly, when you pray about these things, it's not that you're greedy. You're not greedy. It's not that you're self-centered. It's just honestly, you don't know. God, I just don't know what to do. Where should I go next? And God is not giving you anything. God is just leaving you there on your own, seems like. Maybe lastly, for some of us, is a prayer for a relationship. Really, it's not too much to ask for, because if you think about it, and you tell God this all the time, God, is your design that a man should be with a woman. But I've been praying for this, and what's worse is you have been praying for a godly man or a godly woman. You have been praying for a person that loves God, and you've been praying for this for so many years, and it's just never the right one. Why doesn't God answer your good-hearted prayer? And you know what makes all these things worse is the fact that you still haven't given up on God. And this is what I mean. You're still listening to this. You're still going to worship. You're still serving. You're still doing devotion, maybe. The fact that you're still listening to this right now means that you haven't given up on God, even though God hasn't answered your good-hearted prayer. Or put it this another way, you haven't given up on God, but it seems like God has given up on you. Why doesn't God answer our good-hearted prayer? Why does God say no? Why does God say no to a prayer that's honorable, sincere, desperate, good-hearted prayer? Doesn't God just feel like that sometimes, or maybe all the time? You know, if you look at the Bible, there are more than a few people who we believe have maybe asked these questions, or certainly have gone through seasons like this that would lead us to ask that question. Maybe they're in a season like you are. And in this series, we're going to look at a couple of these people. In particular today, we're going to look at Paul. The Apostle Paul. Most of us have heard of him. You may be very familiar with him. The Apostle Paul has written a lot of letters that make up the huge part of the New Testament. Well, he started off as a Christ persecutor. He persecuted everybody who followed Christ. And then God appeared to him in a vision and called him personally by name. And then now, all of a sudden, he's turned from a Christ persecutor to a Christ follower. And even he's advocating for Christ. He's a Christ advocator. Now he's building churches, mentoring leaders, you know, preaching the gospel. And really, if you look at it, he is probably the person that's really responsible for bringing the gospel to the non-Jewish community, to non-Jewish people, spreading the gospel to the world. And so to say the very least, Paul is a good Christian. Really, he's doing everything you can ask for in a Christian, really. And a lot of us, we look up to Apostle Paul and Jesus as well. Apostle Paul is kind of like a role model. And so you think, a Christian of this caliber, right? He's doing all the right things. You would want his life. You would think that. But if you look at his life, not really. You might hesitate because his life is far from smooth sailing. His life is far from, you know, just parties and success. Really, his life is filled with difficulties and challenges and trials and sufferings and pain and even unanswered prayer. More on that in a second. And so one of the churches that he planted, a church in Corinth, we're going to call them the Corinthians, this church has something to say about him. So Paul planted this church, and then he left to go plant some other church. And these Corinthians, they have some other teachers came by, and they heard some preaching and teaching from these other teachers. And these other teachers call themselves super apostles, like superhero kind of super apostles. And these super apostles claim that, hey, we got that same vision as Paul did. But if you look at us, we are rich. Paul is poor. We are strong, we are well off, we're not going through all these struggles and trials and difficulties that Paul is going through. And so these Corinthians, they look at, well, these super apostles and Paul, super apostles and Paul. Well, we should probably listen to the super apostles because they're rich, they're well off, nothing bad is happening to them. And look at Paul, all these bad things are happening to him. And maybe God is not answering his prayer. And so these Corinthians begin to dismiss Paul's authority, to question him and doesn't think that he's the leader or the apostle. To the person that built the church, he thinks, well, we're not going to listen to Paul anymore. We're going to listen to these super apostles. And because from their standards, they think Paul is weak. Paul is weak. A good Christian shouldn't be weak, shouldn't go through all these things, shouldn't go through these trials and sufferings. And honestly, it's not hard to understand why they're feeling this way. Because if you just kind of look at what Paul has gone through, I think you'll understand. And Paul actually helps us here. He is hearing all these noise from the Corinthians, and he's writing a response letter to the Corinthians, and he's explaining to them, well, okay, how do I take all of this in? And in this letter, he lists out for you the things that he's gone through. And really, if you just look at this list, I trust that you don't want to experience what he did. Here's what he says. He says, look, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. This is a Jewish punishment. 3 times I was beaten with rods. This is a punishment from the non-Jewish community. 1 time I was stoned. This is like an execution punishment. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, I experienced danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, not my own people, danger in the city, danger from the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. And not only that, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all my churches. And if you look at these things, it's not difficult to imagine why people would doubt Paul. On a side note, it should comfort us to know that Paul, if Paul, who is called by God, who is used by God, who is loved by God, who God knows by name, if Paul experienced all these things, it means that probably your experience is not an indicator at all of how much God loves you and how much God can use you. Think about that for a second. Anyways, that's a side note. So not only did Paul go through all these things, for a significant time in his ministry, he was given something that so bothered him and gave him so much pain and even crippled him maybe, that he had to plead to God and pray to God about it. And we know from studying his life, it's like he must have experienced this for maybe 15 to 20 years and counting. And so this is what Paul says. Paul says, there is a thorn, not only addition to all these things I've gone through, there is a thorn that was given me in the flesh. We don't know what this is, but our best guess is probably like a physical ailment or impediment, or maybe it has to do with his eyesight, or maybe his speech, or maybe he had seizure or epilepsy. But it was so bad that he said it's a messenger of Satan to harass him. You can, and some other translations have torment, and really this word means that to beat somebody with such something so sharp and painful that that thing sticks deeply in the flesh and it just gets stuck there. So it's not your average paper cut. This is something that's stuck there and so sharp and painful, and this is what Paul is using to describe this thorn. And Paul is saying, this thorn was given me to keep me from being conceited. More on that later. And so 3 times, he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this. So this is not your average, like, okay, breakfast prayer, lunch prayer, dinner prayer. This is not that, okay? This is extended period of prayer and fasting and worshiping and silence and being still before God for those 20 years. And if you were Paul, what would you ask God about? That it should leave you, right? That it should leave you. That this weakness, that this state that you're in, it should leave you. And honestly, this is something that Paul has seen God do a million times. Paul would literally walk out on the street and the Holy Spirit would just heal people passing by. This is something that's totally not like difficult to do, not too much to ask for. And this is definitely something that it's in God's character to do, in God's loving and good and powerful character to do, to heal somebody. And this is not unreasonable because for what we know, this ailment or this thorn in the flesh is probably sort of stopping Paul from doing ministry, or sort of weakening his strength to minister. And so this will help him, actually. So it's not unreasonable. And so from everything in our understanding tells us that we are on Paul's side. we think God used to answer Paul's prayer, and maybe your prayer as well. And Paul says, but he, God, said to him. And now Paul is going to tell us what God said to him. Now remember, the context is Paul is writing all this to the Corinthians who are doubting Paul because of what he is going through. And so Paul is going to tell them what God said to put them in a proper perspective and maybe to put us in a proper perspective as well. Here's what God said. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And if you just sit with that for a little bit, essentially, God is saying, I'm not going to remove the thorn. I'm not going to remove the thorn, not now. Maybe later, maybe not later. And we just ask, well, why doesn't God fix this? Why doesn't God heal him? Why does God keep saying no to a good-hearted prayer that was from a good-hearted Christian? It's reasonable. It's not too much to ask for. It's in God's character to do. Well, for Paul, there was a reason. Paul said the thorn was there to keep him from being conceited. He said this, right? To keep him from being conceited. This means to keep him from being prideful, from being too full of himself because of all the things that God is doing through him. It's just in case you thought all this stuff is because of your own ability or your own power. Paul says, there's this thorn to keep me humble. There's a thorn that keeps me relying on God. So maybe there's a reason for you and your thorn and your weakness. Sometimes we see it, but honestly, sometimes we never do. But if you ask Paul, well, Paul, why does God keep saying no to you? I think Paul would explain it to you in this way. And I think this is why Paul is writing all of this, because multiple times in his letters to the Corinthians, he keeps repeating these themes, this particular theme over and over and over again. He's going to remind them, hey, this is the perspective that you ought to have. And I think Paul would say this. Paul would say, everybody, all of you guys think it's not right for me to go through all this stuff. All of you guys think that it's not right for a Christ follower to go through all these weaknesses and trials and sufferings. And you all think that God said no to my prayer. Well, you guys think it's no because you have already decided for God what yes is. We all think God said no because we have already decided for God what the yes should be. How many times have we come to God in the prayer with an answer already decided for him? That not only must he act and listen to your prayer, but he must do so in this specific way. And if he doesn't, that means he is uncooperative. That means he doesn't care. That means he's cruel or he's late. But look, I think Paul would say this. Paul would say, God didn't say no. God just had a different yes in mind. Because this is what God said. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So to God, the answer to the thorn is not a removal of the thorn. The answer to the thorn for God is not a removal of the thorn. The answer to the thorn is power. It's power despite of the thorn. The answer, sometimes the answer that God gives to the weakness is not a removal of the weakness, but it's strength and power in the midst of the weakness. Because look, God can use what gives us pain to give us power. God can use what gives us pain to give us power. Because see, when God says, my power is made perfect, what he means is his power is brought to an end, is brought to completion in weakness. And he's saying to Paul, I know you're at the end of your rope. I know you're at the end of your power, Paul, but I'm going to give you power to persevere and to go through. And this is why it's a grace. This is why it's a grace, because look, Paul, I didn't have to do all this. I am God. It's in my rights to not answer anything from you. Really, I don't have to help you at all, but it is my grace. And because I love you, I'm going to give you strength through your weakness. Or in other words, your weakness is not going to deter God's strength and God's work in you. Or maybe put it in other words, God can leverage your weakness to release his power. God can use what gives you pain to give you power. But now, honestly, just you and I, after hearing all this, maybe we're not super excited. Maybe we're not super convinced, because I'll give you a question and I think you would know. Would you, having heard all these things that Paul has gone through, would you rather go through what Paul had gone through to experience God's strength and God's power? Would you do that? Would you rather experience and go through what Paul has gone through to experience God's power? I probably not for me. Why? Because they, as much like the Corinthians, and understandably so, we think that it's not worth it. We think that we'd rather have human success, human health, human glory, human happiness, human joy, human strength. We'd rather have all of these things than God's strength. We'd rather have human side of things than God's strength, God's glory, God's success. And this is why Paul's writing to the Corinthians, is maybe to correct this thinking, or maybe readjust that thinking. Because he explains this. He explains, here is what God's power looks like. And he explains this at multiple points in his letter. And at one part in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this. He says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. This treasure, what he means is the word of God, the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure, guys, in this jar of clay, which is sort of like an ancient metaphor for human weaknesses. So we have this treasure. We have this treasure in this jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And what does that power look like? Why is that so much better? Well, that power allows us, when we're hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. When we're perplexed, when we're confused, when we're disturbed, we're not in despair. When we're persecuted, we're not abandoned. And when we're struck down, when we're beaten down, we're not destroyed. Have you met anybody like this before? Have you met anybody that's experiencing God's strength like this to the point where they would say, God's strength is really worth it. It's better than human weaknesses. I had the just absolute privilege, and I was very blessed to learn some of these stories and even walk with some of these stories. And I would like to share some of those with you today. I met an elderly woman, we'll call her Mrs. Lam, in our church. When I met her, it was through the Cantonese prayer meeting that was happening monthly through Zoom online, starting I think like 2 years ago. And I had just the absolute privilege of just pairing with her for most of the time in those prayer meetings and when we would go to breakout rooms and pray. When I prayed with her, or when I met with her, she was always in a chair. She always had a lot of blankets on. She always has a toque on. She has a scarf on, regardless of what season it is. And when she would talk and she would share, or maybe she would pray, she always have this shortness of breath. She's always saying how she's dizzy. She would share how she cannot eat. She cannot sleep. And really, she would share with us that, you know, throughout the 24 hours a day, you know, she's pretty much on bed the whole time. And when she prays, every two sentences, she would have to stop to catch her breath. That's essentially what it is. And so she does not use technology, as you can understand. This is an 80-year-old elderly woman. She is not in an Oikos, but she never misses that monthly prayer meeting. She never misses it. I have missed a couple. She never misses it. And what stood out to me the most is every time when she prays, the first thing that comes out of her mouth with that weak voice of hers, sort of stuttering, catching her breath, the first thing she would say is, give thanks. God, I give thanks to you, for I have another day to praise you, to worship you. God, I give thanks that you sustained my life to this point so I can attend another prayer meeting. You know what that does for me? An elderly woman, 60 years ahead of my faith journey, and seeing all this pain and suffering that she's going through every single day, and she would come and she would say, God's strength sustained me so that I can come to another prayer meeting. Heart-pressed. Heart-pressed, not crushed at all. Literally, she's being beat down by sickness every day, but she is not destroyed. I also learned of other stories. I read of this Christian artist, rapper, author in the States. His name is Trip Lee. He has this condition called chronic fatigue syndrome. Basically, in essence, is no matter how long he sleeps, he's still tired. And I know sometimes we joke and we say we're always tired. We joke that we never sleep enough. But really, can you imagine what it's like? No matter like 18 hours a day you sleep and you come and wake up and you're still tired all the time. And the doctor said this is a condition that people know very little about. But it's a condition that prevents Tripp from doing anything sort of worthwhile or long term because he never knows what happens when he wakes up the next day. And so ever since becoming a Christian early on in his life, Tripp, he has been producing music, you know, hip-hop music, rap music for Christ. He even served in churches and helped start at different churches, planted different churches in the past. And when you ask him about his condition, Tripp, how's your condition? He says it's so difficult because you can never plan ahead. Because you have this appointment next day, and then the next day you wake up, you're just totally, you know, beat down. Yet, he says, when he serves and when he teaches and when he sings, he's always in awe of God's power because he's so weak. And because he's so weak, everything he's doing, he says, it's God's strength through him. And he gives God all the glory because of that. Heart pressed on every side, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned. This is the strength of God. I also read one more story of Alan. His name is Alan in Hong Kong. I think he must be around 30-something, perhaps. His weaknesses, I'm going to try my best to pronounce this. He has this condition called ankylosing spondinitis. What this is it's an inflammatory disease that over time can cause the bones in the spine to fuse. And this fusing makes the spine less flexible and can result in this hunched posture. And if the ribs are affected, it can be difficult to breathe and certainly super painful and super stiff. He also has inflammation in his nose and in his head, in his sinuses. He's experiencing depression and anxiety disorder because of all this stuff. And so because of his medical condition, he does not have a regular job. He works a few days here, he works a few days there. And because of this, his finances is affected. And he lives in a 70-feet apartment, 70 apartment. Just for reference, it's probably smaller than your bedroom. Imagine your bedroom with the bathroom, with the bedroom, with the living room, with the kitchen, with the storage, whatever, everything just crammed into a room that's smaller than your bedroom. And so if you interview Alan, if you ask him, well, Alan, what do you do in your free time? Do you like just kind of waste your time around? Do you complain? What do you do? And he says, no, I don't do that. I cook a meal and deliver them to the elderly, to the sick, to anybody who needs it in my free time at my own cost. And he did this to the point where the press and the news started to notice him. And so he got a sponsor to release a cookbook because he's a good chef, to release a cookbook. And guess what? If you are Alan, you're going to grab this opportunity and get some money, get some earnings for yourself and get out of this 70-feet apartment. Hey, you can't even pay your own medical bills, but guess what Alan did? He donated all of the earnings from the cookbook to a charity organization. Think about it. Is he weak? Is he hard-pressed? Is he struck down? And when you ask him, well, Alan, why are you doing all this stuff? How are you able to do this? And Alan will answer you like he did to the news reporter. He says, oh, it's my faith. It's in prayer that I discern that I must use my life to continue to serve those around me. Literally hard-pressed in the spine, in the ribs, pressed every side, he's not crushed. Is he perplexed? He's probably perplexed. He's struck down, but he's not destroyed. Have you ever met people like this? That when they're weak, they are strong. That when they experience pain, they say, I experienced the power of God. And so this is why Paul says what he says. And this is what Paul is trying to get to the Corinthians, and maybe try to get to you and I. He says, therefore, I will boast. I will live, literally, I will live with my head high, all the more gladly. He's glad about his weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What Paul is saying is, look, God's strength is so much better than what human beings think is good. And so Paul is going to continue to boast, live his head high in all these weaknesses, because in all these weaknesses, God's power is going to dwell, it's going to live in him. And so he continues and he says, for the sake of Christ, in order, for the benefit of Christ, in order to get Christ, I am content. I'm content. He's saying, I'm pleased. I find it to be good. I find it to be acceptable with weaknesses, with insults and hardships and persecutions and even calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is saying, I would rather be weak to get the strength of God. I would rather be weak in the flesh in human terms, because that means I receive the strength from God. I have a question for you. Would you go through all these things to experience God? Would you rather to go through what Paul has gone through to experience God? I have a good news for you. The good news is you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose. Honestly, you don't get to choose. Because the reality is, in this life, you don't get to choose what season of life you're going to go through. You don't get to choose your trials. You don't get to choose your weaknesses. You don't get to choose your struggles. But the good news is that even in those tough seasons, even when God seemed to have said no to your prayer, God says, I have something better for you. I have something better for you. My strength and my power, I'm going to bring you to the other side. So that when you're weak, you're going to feel strong. And so, church, when you find yourself to be in a season of difficulty, or maybe a challenge, or maybe when God just seems to be not answering your prayer at all, our prayer is that you can find comfort. That even Paul, even a person like Paul, have gone through so much. But we know God used Paul. We know God loves Paul. And so when we go through all this stuff today, it doesn't mean God doesn't care. It doesn't mean God is uncooperative. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And when we pray for a way out and we don't get it, it doesn't necessarily mean a no. It's just a different yes. And this different yes is God's strength in weakness. God can use what gives us pain to give us power. And I think Paul would say, to experience God's strength is so much better. Because he says, when I'm weak in the body, in the flesh, I'm strong in God, in spirit. Church, I want to invite you to stand and let us pray together. God, we ask for your mercy and for your grace upon those that believe they're weak. We ask for your mercy and your grace on those that are going through a tough time. Maybe especially mentally, they're going through a very difficult time. God, we pray for your strength and your power in the midst of these pain. God, we pray that you will increase our faith to you so that we can persevere, and with your strength, we can walk through whatever it is that we're going through. And God, even if we don't walk through, even if this situation lasts any longer, God, we are going to depend on your strength all the more. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make me a result. Make me an offering.
So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be.
Church, please be seated. Do you know who went through in the history of mankind? Do you know who went through the most pain but experienced the most power from God? Do you know who else also had a prayer that was unanswered? Yeah, it was Jesus. Think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, also had a no given to him. Jesus had an unanswered prayer, but God had a different yes in mind. And maybe that would give us comfort that even not only Paul, but even Jesus went through a season like this. You see, Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, just moments before he would be captured, and he would be tortured, and he would be beaten, he would be spat on, he would be cursed on, and eventually he would carry his own cross and be nailed to it, and he will suffocate while bearing excruciating pain. Moments before that, he asked God in a prayer. He pleaded to God three times, God, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Remove this punishment. Remove this cross, this wrath that's going to come. Remove this from me. And three times he did it. But he knows. He knows God can use what gives him pain to give him power and give glory to God. And so he says, but God, nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, not my prayer, not my answer, but God, what you decide to do. And so you know what happened. God actually did not remove the cup from him. God did not give Jesus what he prayed for. And you know what happened after Jesus went to the cross and he experienced pain like no other, all the way till death. And he endured it all. He didn't quit. And then 3 days later, he experienced the most power ever in mankind because God raised Jesus from the dead. God's power was made perfect in the weakest of the weak, in the death of Jesus Christ. And God leveraged Jesus' weakness, his pain and his death to showcase the power and the strength and the glory of God. And so this is what we're celebrating each month in communion. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, which he had given it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." As we're partaking communion together today, let us remember the pain and the weakness and the suffering that Jesus has gone through, but let us also hold fast to the hope and the power that he's given us through his death and his resurrection. Let's now partake in communion together. Now, before we end today, I'd like to give you a few suggestions, especially a few things that you can hold on to, a few things that you can do, especially if you're in a tough season. The first thing that I recommend you and encourage you to do is just pray honestly, pray honestly. You can pray to God honestly about your weaknesses and your struggle and what do you hope to happen, what do you have, what do you want to have that's removed or given to you, because this is what Paul did. This is what Jesus did. Jesus and Paul both prayed, and they both asked three times to have something removed from them. But secondly, we encourage you to pray with an open mind. Keep an open mind about what God's answer can be, because it may be what you prayed for. Sometimes God does use this power to remove something or maybe answer your prayer right away, but sometimes he doesn't. But trust that God's promise to Paul is still to you, that he can use what is giving you pain to give you power. And hopefully you can find comfort in the fact that Jesus and Paul both didn't have their first option, I guess, their first prayer answered. But God loves them and used them just the same. Thirdly, we encourage you to continue to position yourself at God's power. I know this is a little counterintuitive, but why don't you continue to position yourself at a place where God's strength can more effectively or more frequently flow through you? Because this is what Paul did. Paul, when he's experienced all these things, or maybe these stories that we've heard in the past, or maybe even Jesus, where he knows the pain is coming to him, or maybe he's going through this weakness, he didn't stop, he didn't quit, he just kept going. And it's through the kept going that he experienced God's power. And so honestly, it's not going to be the most comfortable, but it's worth it. God said it's worth it, Paul said it's worth it to experience God's strength in my weakness. And so lastly, we encourage you to persevere through your weakness. Don't let weakness or the fear of weakness or fear of suffering deter you from following God, because honestly, it's inevitable. It's inevitable for anybody to experience these things, but maybe more so for Christ followers. Paul went through it, Jesus went through it. But the good news is that we're never alone. God never leaves us, and God never stops caring about you. God loves you all the same. And sometimes, again, he will deliver you miraculously from your pain, but maybe just as likely, he'll give you power to persevere. And after you've gone through it, you may be glad, like Paul, that that's how you've gone through it. Because God can use what gives you pain to give you power. God can use what gives you pain to give you power. And at the end of all this, you might be glad. You might be glad, like Paul, like you will boast and you're glad and you can rejoice in your weakness. Because the way that God answered your prayer is not to get you out of your tough season. It's not to just isolate you from your challenges. It's not to just grab you out of your sickness, your relationship drought, or maybe your career or your future. But God chose to give you power through the pain
to let you experience him. And I think maybe like Paul, you would say one day that I'm glad that that's how Paul, how God delivered me, gave me power through my pain, so that when I was weak, I was strong. And God used what gave me pain to give me power. Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. Church, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. And to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So church, that concludes our worship service today. We encourage you to continue your worship through offering. And you can do so by scanning the QR code below or head to our website, english.mykc.ca. Next week, we're going to wrap up our series called When God, and we hope to see you then. Go in peace.